Casting at 97.5 FM.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Christopher Cruz. A decisive win in the Iowa caucuses.
Donald Trump has led polling for more than a year, but the Republican contest was seen as the clearest insight yet into whether he can convert his advantage into a White House return. He got more than 50% of the vote here.
So I don't want to be overly rough on the president, but I have to say that he is the worst president that we've had in the history of our country. He's destroying our country.
Iowans braved life-threatening temperatures to gather at more than 1,600 schools, community centers, and other sites for the state's first-in-the-nation caucus. Matt Piper, CBS News, Des Moines.
CBS News projects Florida Governor Ron DeSantis will come in second.
We represent a chance to reverse the madness that we've seen in this country, to reverse the decline of this country, and to give this country a new birth of freedom and a restoration of sanity. That's what we are going to do.
And former UN Ambassador Nikki Haley will take third place. Vivek Ramaswamy suspended his campaign late last night and endorsed Donald Trump. The Arctic cold and storms that have been sweeping the country have now killed a total of at least 12 people in half a dozen states. Here's reporter Bruce Marcus.
Three homeless men in Milwaukee are believed to have died from hypothermia. The city and state are in the midst of a brutal cold wave. In some places, temperatures have only reached single digits, with lows well below zero. It's led many communities to open warming centers and libraries and shopping malls. And people are being urged to limit their time outdoors.
For the first time in 40 years, a black woman has won the Emmy for Best Actress in a Comedy. Quinta Brunson won for her portrayal of a teacher in the show Abbott Elementary, which she created.
I love making Abbott Elementary so much, and I am so happy to be able to live my dream and act out comedy.
The Emmy for Best Drama went to an HBO series.
And the Emmy goes to Succession.
The show was on Fox. CBS's Kemi McCormick says Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin has been released from the hospital.
The Pentagon says Austin has recovered well, according to his doctors, but will continue to perform his duties remotely for a period of time before returning to the Pentagon full-time. He will have continuing physical therapy and is expected to make a full recovery.
Austin was in the hospital for 2 weeks for treatment of complications from surgery for prostate cancer. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Did you know this local radio station is part of Civic Media? Learn more about the entire network at civicmedia.us.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wiggehow. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Tens of thousands of people in Wisconsin have had to endure the coldest weather of the winter so far without power to heat their homes and businesses. Most of the outages are in southeast Wisconsin, where We Energy says it expects to have all the power back on by midday Tuesday. Arctic air is forecasted to keep highs in the single digits through Tuesday. A bipartisan bill would decriminalize having up to 14 grams of marijuana. Under the bill, anyone with less than 14 grams would not face criminal charges but would have to pay a $100 fine. It would also lower the penalties for being caught a second time. Several Wisconsin cities have already decriminalized possessing small amounts of marijuana. Assembly Republicans introduced a bill to legalize medical marijuana last week. I'm Nate Wiggehout, Civic Media News.
The Packers with another win in Dallas. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Packers with a huge upset win over the Cowboys, 48-32. It's the sixth time in a row the Packers have won in the Cowboys Stadium, including Super Bowl 45. They led 27-7 at the end of two quarters. Matt LaFleur.
Fortunately, you know, we built a lead that was too big to overcome.
Aaron Jones rushed for 118 yards and scored three touchdowns. Jordan Love.
It was huge. You know, I think that was the key for us coming to this game was to run the ball well.
Love threw three TDs with a quarterback rating rating of 157, Romeo Doubs on the Packers' young receiver core.
It's amazing, man, how young we are as a group. I just feel like the most important area is just sticking together.
Up next, the Packers face the 49ers in San Francisco. NBA, the Bucks with an exciting win, 143-142 in overtime in Milwaukee. Damian Lillard with a game-winning three-point shot at the buzzer.
It was like we had the game and they stole it from us, and then, you know, we took it back at the end.
That's Bucks head coach Adrian Griffin. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Wind chill advisory continues thanks to wind chills around 25 below zero and that gusty west wind. Mostly cloudy skies, lows near the 10 below mark. On Tuesday, a mix of clouds and sunshine, just barely above zero, and the wind chills as cold as 20 to 30 below. Right now, it's 5 below.
The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. It's your hometown radio, refreshed.
Your hometown news talk and sports station is locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Luke Mathers, coming to you live from our studio in beautiful downtown Waukesha. You can always join us if you want to call or text at 844-967-2789 or leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and or Twitter. Very excited to be joined by our next guest. He is the Biological Services Director with the Great Lakes Indian Fish and Wildlife Commission. Good morning, Jonathan Gilbert. Thank you so much for joining us. How are you doing today? Staying warm?
We're trying to stay warm way up here in northern Wisconsin, you know. We're 10 below zero this morning in my thermometer, so.
Where exactly are you?
My office is in Odena, Wisconsin, which is about 10 miles east of Ashland.
So you're way
on Lake Superior.
You're way up there.
You got the lake effect keeping you a little bit warmer. Here in south central Wisconsin, and my thermometer was still negative 10 too. So,
the lake, we have all kinds of blessings from our lake, believe me.
I'm sure you do. Well, the reason why we have you here, and I love stories like this, for the first time in a century, martens have been spotted on Lake Superior's Madeline Island. So, Jonathan, let's start with what is a marten? And why is this important?
Sure. A marten is a member of the weasel family. We call it the Mustelidae. And it's a genus Martes. It's like a forest carnivore member of the weasel family. That's what the marten is. There's martens, the genus Martes, all around the world, in Europe and in Asia. Alaska, Canada, they're circumpolar in their distribution, that genus. Here in the United States, we have two species. One is the American marten. That's the one that's here in Wisconsin and mostly throughout North America. And then there's another marten called the Pacific marten that's out in the Pacific Northwest.
So the marten, the American marten, which is what you said we have here in Wisconsin, that essentially went extinct a while ago, and then they reintroduced them, correct?
The word is extirpated, right? So it was extirpated in Wisconsin in the 1920s, and in the UP and Michigan, it was also extirpated there. Never in northern Minnesota or in Canada, north of us. Right. And so the restoration efforts in Michigan and in Wisconsin, oh my gosh, they began way back in the 1970s.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, with people trying to reintroduce the animals. Maybe even before that, there's a recorded event of introducing martens out to the Apostle Islands in the 1950s. Some of our current work is showing us that introduction of martens out to the apostles was not successful. Okay. So, yeah, there are now Martins in Wisconsin and in Michigan. Martins in Wisconsin are rare. They are classified as a state endangered species, the only, in fact, state endangered mammal in Wisconsin. In Michigan and Minnesota, they have healthier populations, and there they are subject to a trapping harvest.
Oh, they are?
Yes, in Michigan and in Minnesota. Not so in Wisconsin.
That because, and I'm assuming, I mean, they were hunted widely for their fur, I assume, correct, Jonathan?
Yeah, I mean, the reason for the extirpation is twofold. One is the over-exploitation, like you say, trapping and hunting for their fur. The other is habitat loss. And, you know, martens require large tracts of mature to old forests with big trees, lots of physical structure in the forest. And when those forests were cut down, well, then the habitat for martens was destroyed. And so those two factors, the overharvest plus the habitat destruction, really are the cause of that extirpation in the 1920s.
What does it mean, Jonathan, when a species like this is missing from the ecological puzzle? What are the ramifications?
You know, I work for a bunch of Ojibwe Indian tribes. And so I listen to them and hear them talk about things all the time, the way they perceive things. And what they tell me is all things are connected, right? And so as a good ecologist, that kind of makes good sense to me. All things are connected. And so when you have a complex web of life living in a forest, and then you remove one strand of that complex web, all things are connected, right? It affects everything. And so, you know, having healthy populations of predators in our ecosystems, we know that those predators have a role to play in keeping those ecosystems healthy. And so when predators, carnivores like the marten are eliminated, then those, the roles that they play are diminished, and then this ecosystem suffers because of that.
If you're just joining us, Jonathan Gilbert is our guest. He's the Biological Services Director with the Great Lakes Indian Fish and Wildlife Commission, and we're talking about the return of the marten to some areas in Wisconsin. These animals, Jonathan, they're really hard to spot, aren't they?
Well, they're hard to spot in Wisconsin because they're so rare. When you go to northern Minnesota, if you've ever gone to the Boundary Waters, I hear people tell me stories all the time about seeing martens in their camps and in the Boundary Waters. So they're not so shy. They just are rare. And so, yeah, it's hard to see them for sure. Have I ever seen a marten just without a radio collar on it or in a trap? No, I don't think so.
Wow.
I don't think so. In all the years, 30 years I've been studying martens, I don't think I've ever seen one, just seen one run around in Wisconsin.
And what do they look like? You said they're part of the weasel family. Are they cat-sized? Are they raccoon-sized?
If you know what a ferret looks like.
Sure.
They're shaped like a ferret. They're long and cylindrical. They have a wide variety of colors, kind of chocolate brown to light tan. They almost always will have some sort of a orange patch on their chest. A long cylindrical body. It looks like a mink or a ferret. You know, that's the same family, right?
Sure.
As the martens. So, yeah.
And so what do they, because you said they're predators. So what do they eat? What do martens eat?
So martens are small mammal specialists. They will eat mice and voles and squirrels and things like that. They are especially adapted to hunting under the snow in the winter. So in the wintertime, when we have lots of snow up here, the mice and voles and all those critters, they are under that snow in an area we call a subnivium. And in that area, that's where they can maintain a nice 32 degrees Fahrenheit temperature. It doesn't get too cold or anything. That's where the mice and voles hang out. Well, the martens are adapted with their long cylindrical shape. They're adapted to hunting in that subnivium area. And so, that's their specialty. That's what they rely on mostly. Redback voles are their favorite. And what we're finding is redback voles are disappearing from our forests up north. which is a concern, right? So we're finding lots of shrews and mice in the Martin's diet, more so than the redback bulls that we would typically find. And so, yeah, one of the concerns, one of the many concerns we have about Martin's in Wisconsin.
And they're very... Luke was doing a little research on Martins because you thought you saw one.
I thought I saw one. When you were like, we're going to have a discussion about Martins, I was like, I think that might have been one of the critters that I saw in Rocky Mountain National Park last year. But I quick looked it up, and it was actually a marmot was what we saw.
Oh.
So I was like, it sounded similar. I was thinking of it. I was like, what exactly did we see? But not necessarily. They also have them. There was a variety of them in the Rockies, but... a little bit different than I think what we have up in northern Wisconsin.
That's the Pacific Martin that they would have out there. Really different than a marmot, that's for sure.
Yeah, the marmot I saw was a very social creature, which was explaining why the, not me on the trail, but other individuals were feeding it little snacks. And I was like, you guys, come on, stop that.
Don't feed
the wild animals.
Food. What are we doing, people? That makes me crazy.
Exactly. But are these individuals, do they wait for the this time of year when ice sheets and everything, how do they get to Madeline Island, I guess? Do they swim or do they wait for ice to be able to travel across the Lake Superior waters?
There are drones that just drop them there.
this is an interesting story, right? So we had 1950s, some martins were released out on Stockton Island in the Paso Islands. So like I said, that they were those Pacific martins. And so we've kind of looked at the genetics of the martins that are there now. And no, they're not descended from that Pacific martin stock. They're different. And so we began introducing martins into the Wisconsin, like I said, in the 70s. But it's been an ongoing effort for a long time. And the most recent was 2008 to 2010. There were some 90 some odd animals released near Clam Lake, about 50 miles south of the Apostle Islands. The Michigan population has been healthy, and so that's not too far away also. So then in 2010, there was a photograph submitted to the Park Service. I said, what's this critter that I'm taking a picture of here at our campsite? Well, it turns out it was a marten. Some tourist, a camper out on the Apostle Islands took a picture and didn't know what it was, submitted it, and it was a marten. So that started us looking at it. Us, I say us, but lots of people, different people have been involved in this. And first we started getting camera images, and then we started putting cameras on other islands, and we found them on other islands. And I was like, whoa, okay, well, how do we do that? How do they get out there? And so our best guess is swimming is too hard, I think. It's too cold. It's 2 miles at least to the nearest island. Going across the ice is what we think. We think they will cross the ice. Ice on Lake Superior, you think about it like an ice skating rink. It's not like that, right? It's got ridges and upturns and, the structure to it. So they're not like just running flat across sheet of ice. They're probably finding their way through all these kind of, crevices and all out there.
Interesting.
I still
like the idea of drones dropping martins on islands, but we're not.
So then just to continue, so then over to from 2010 till now, we've been doing this research on the martins on the Apostle Islands. Well, now we see martins, photograph evidence again of martins on Madeline Island, okay? Well, Madeline Island is just another one of the islands in the Apostle group, right? And so it's not a big surprise to us that we're now finding them on Madeline Island, too.
This continues
that same trend.
This is great news. It's good news. Jonathan Gilbert is Biological Services Director with the Great Lakes Indian Fish and Wildlife Commission. Been talking about the return of the marten to Wisconsin. Thank you so very much, Jonathan. Really appreciate your time today.
Yeah, absolutely.
And
stay
with us. When we return, we're talking all things weather and wine. Brittany Merlot will be here with us. Stay close. You're listening to Matt Nair on air on the Civic.
Locally grown radio, WFHR.
Smiles are powerful. They spread joy, laughter, and hope. But not everyone gets a fair chance at a smile. Every 3 minutes, a baby is born with a cleft, making it difficult to talk, hear, eat, and even breathe. In America, most children with clefts receive immediate care, but others around the world may never have access to the surgery they need to thrive. SmileTrain is changing that. As the world's largest cleft charity,
Our sustainable model has sponsored more than 1.5 million smiles. We offer training and financial support to local medical professionals so they can provide life-changing surgery and other essential services at no cost to families.
It's more than to see these children, to hear the difference that we make. And for me, being born with a cleft lip and palate, knowing what they went through is so life-changing for me.
Help us change the world one smile at a time. To learn more, visit smiletrain.org/learn.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
To Matt Nair on Air, Jane Matt Nair, Luke Mathers, coming to you from our studio in downtown Waukesha. This is becoming a regular segment. Weather and wine with Civic Media meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Good morning, lady. How are you?
Morning. I'm freezing over here. How are you?
we're freezing also. We had to move a space heater here into the main room because it's so cold. Do you have a space heater?
Oh, yeah, I just unplugged it so you could hear me, but yeah, it's still warm.
We're all freezing, and it's going to be freezing for a while. We just talked to you Friday when this big storm system was moving in, and you warned us that we needed to get everything shoveled because it was going to turn into a rock of ice, and that's essentially what happened. Now, you're in the Wausau area, Brittany. How much snow did you guys get?
We got anywhere from about 4 to 6 inches.
But oh, that's
we
not below, too bad.
Yeah, it wasn't too bad. And it was the light, fluffy, drier snow the whole time because we were in the 20s. So we didn't get that heavy, wet, sloppy stuff that you had to deal with. But ours was blowing around and drifting throughout the day.
I'm sure.
Little different.
I bet visibility was terrible because visibility was bad the way it was when I was driving home on Friday. And when that light, fluffy stuff gets blown around, it's really tough to see. So how long are we going to be dealing with this extreme cold?
Well, the worst of it is definitely going to be at least through Wednesday morning, where we're seeing these wind chill advisories still in effect. So tonight, actually, our actual temperatures will drop to about 13 below into the Waukesha area and even colder further up north. So with the winds at only 10 miles per hour by tonight and early tomorrow morning, that's still enough to create wind chills of negative 30 to near negative 40. Yeah, the further north you live, it's going to be even worse up there. And that's cause for frostbite rapidly. I mean, within 10 to 15 minutes, you can get frostbite. And that stays with you for a while. Have you guys ever had that?
I haven't, but I mean, that permanently damages your tissue, doesn't it?
Absolutely. And it reactivates again now. So people who have had it are feeling it at this moment. Just be careful. You definitely want to cover up all exposed skin for the next, I'd say, 48 hours if you're going to go outside.
And then what is coming after that? Do we have more snow on the way? Luke saw something about rain.
Yeah, oh, I heard about rain next week. I was like, what? This is Wisconsin.
Yeah, we have all seasons in a week, basically, yeah, don't we?
I'm looking forward to the summer portion of the week then. That's what I'm waiting for.
Patiently waiting, right. Now, we're going to be stuck in the real bitter cold for the next few days. We'll get to the double digits as we go into Thursday and Friday. So the wind chill advisories and warnings will be gone at that point. But by Sunday, Monday, back into the 20s, 30s, that is around the corner with a few more active systems hitting us. So again, yes, potentially rain, but let's hope for snow at this point because rain and cold and ice and no thanks.
Well, and all I can think of is, and we talked about this last week when we were first in our house and we did not realize that we had that one area that would get a lot of snow build up on the roof. And then it all iced over and then it started to rain.
Oh, gosh.
And then it started raining in my living room.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah.
That's not where rain's supposed to be.
Yeah. So a nice slow thaw would be a good thing, right?
I agree with you.
Take your time and melt away, but not rain on top of the snow, on top of the ice. That's not going to be good for anyone.
No, not at all.
If you're just joining us, our guest is Civic Media meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Weather and Wine is our segment, and just talking about the extreme cold temperatures. And as you mentioned too, Brittany, 10 to 15 minutes, you can suffer frostbite. And I didn't realize that people who had it before, the cold reactivates it, and that's for life.
Yep. Yep, absolutely. And another thing too, that's why layers are so important, because you don't want to wear anything too heavy or too tight to cause any sweating at all, because then you're going to play with hypothermia, and that creeps up on you so fast. It's happened to me. I'm going to be honest.
Seriously?
It's real. It's real. Yeah.
What happens?
You'll start to get confused. You start thinking a little bit slower. You get your stiffness in your muscles. You're shivering, and then the shivering stops and you're in trouble. You got to get warm fast.
How long ago did that happen to you?
That was only about 3-4 years ago.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, I was a Boy Scout, and any winter excursion that anybody was like, hey, this is a thing that we're going to do, I was like, no, thank you. I'm good. I like to do my camping in the spring, summer, and fall. I'm not a big winter camper. So, I've had plenty of people tell me stories like that where they catch hypothermia or frostbite, and I'm just like, yeah, I'm good inside come the winter months. I don't need to prove my worth to sleep outside. Like there'd be like the Klondike hikes and stuff like that. I was like, I'm not interested at all in anything like that.
That sounds like a punishment, the Klondike hike.
Yeah. Yes.
What did you do,
Luke? Any time. It was the annual, like here in southeastern Wisconsin, it was the annual Boy Scout Jamboree. It was the Klondike hike. And there was the whole derby kind of pulling a sled and everything like that. I did it once and I was like, I'm never doing this again.
I'm good.
Thank you very much. I never need to do any outdoor winter activities like that. I'm an inside guy when it comes to the winter months.
Good to know. We will never ask you to do that ever, ever again. All right, Brittany, just to recap, a couple more days. The next 3 days, essentially, are still going to be very, very dangerous.
Yes.
With the cold weather.
Yeah, absolutely.
So make sure you bundle up and cover up so you don't get frostbite or hypothermia. And then hopefully by Sunday, Monday, we'll be back into the 20s. And then people will start wearing shorts again. Because it's Wisconsin. And that's what we do.
Well, hey, the Martins up in northern Wisconsin are probably going to be loving this, because if it's cold enough to create some lake ice, then they can island hop. And that's kind of like a summer thing to do, right? You go island hopping?
Yeah.
Come on. So the Martins must be loving it.
They're having a ball. Brittany Merlot, Civic Media meteorologist, thank you so very much for joining us. Brittany, stay warm up there in Wausau.
Yes, thanks. You guys, too. Have a good one.
Thanks, Brittany.
Stay close. News is coming up next. Don't go away. You're listening to Matt Nair on air on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Take heed, because I'm a lyrical poet. Miami's on the scene, just in case you didn't know it. My town that created all the bass sound. Enough to shake and kick holes in the ground, because my style's like a chemical spill. Feasible rhymes, you can vision and feel. Conducted and formed, this is a hell of a concept. We make it hype, and you want us to print this. Shape plays on a fade, slice like a ninja, cut like a razor blade so fast. Other DJs say, damn, a rhyme was a drug, I'd sell it by the gram. Keep my composure when it's time to get loose. Magnetized by the mic while I kick my juice. If there was a problem, yo, I'll solve it. Check out the hook while DJ revolves it. Word to your mother.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
CBS News special report, The Iowa Caucuses.
CBS News projects former President Trump will win the caucuses.
We have an invasion of millions and millions of people that are coming into our country. I can't imagine why they think that's a good thing. It's a very bad thing.
CBS News projects Florida Governor Ron DeSantis comes in second. And CBS News projects former U.N. Ambassador Nikki Haley takes third place.
Thank you, Iowa. We're going to continue on. We're going to make you proud. And we're off to New Hampshire. Thank you very much.
And back to Governor DeSantis.
We've got our ticket punched out of Iowa.
Late last night, Vivek Ramaswamy suspended his campaign. He said he will endorse Donald Trump and will appear with him in New Hampshire. CBS News Special Report. I'm Christopher Cruz.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wuggehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The Wisconsin Supreme Court has seven sets of proposed maps to consider as new boundaries for legislative districts are to be put in place by mid-March. They come from the governor and from Republicans, Democrats, college professors, and partisan law firms. The High Court ordered new maps in a landmark ruling in December. Public health experts say misinformation is contributing to a dangerous decline in vaccination rates in Wisconsin. Dr. Monica Wang is with Boston University's School of Public Health. She says lies about vaccines spread faster than the truth.
Health misinformation spread can erode trust in healthcare systems. It can lead to people delaying when they go to a doctor to seek help.
At the same time, cases of COVID, flu, and RSV are on the rise in Wisconsin. I'm Nate Wuggehout, Civic Media News.
The D3.
D3 right of the circle. Badgers take the lead.
The throwdown.
Down the lane and sends it in. And one.
The thrilling victory.
Badgers win it. Oh, did they dig in defensively tonight?
This is your radio home for Wisconsin Badger basketball.
Fakes the three, sidesteps left for three, and the lead. He had it.
The Badger Sports Network from Learfield.
Drives the lane, draw and kick, right corner, three. Got it again.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Windchill advisory continues thanks to wind chills around 25 below zero and that gusty west wind. Mostly cloudy skies, lows near the 10 below mark. On Tuesday, a mix of clouds and sunshine, just barely above zero, and the wind chills as cold as 20 to 30 below. Right now, it's 5 below.
You're going to need me.
You're going to need us.
All of us.
You're going to need our help with your water, your air, your food.
You're going to need our determination, our compassion.
You're going to need the next generation of leaders to face the challenges the future will bring.
And we promise we'll be there when you need us.
Today, 4-H is growing the next generation of leaders. Support us at 4-H.org.
Locally grown radio, WFHR.
America is kept safe because the Army National Guard responds, protects, and supports our nation when it needs them most. From fighting wildfires with air support, helping civilians in flooded neighborhoods, to delivering food and supplies to those who have lost everything, the Army National Guard always responds when disaster strikes. The Army National Guard also trains to be ever vigilant against threats, foreign and domestic. They protect our skies with missile defense weaponry. They secure our information, communications, and infrastructure with cybersecurity. And they protect us against chemical, biological, and radiological hazards with the civilian support team. The Army National Guard also stands ready to deploy and provide support for conflicts or humanitarian missions abroad. Join the Army National Guard and be there to respond, protect, and support your community and your country. Visit NationalGuard.com to learn more about part-time service. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
From Wisconsin Rapids to Stevens Point, your news, talk, and sports is 97.5 FM, locally grown radio.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
to Matt Nair on Air. Jay Matt Nair, Luke Mathers, coming to you live from our studio in downtown Waukesha. Luke's been filling in the last couple of days for Greg Bach. It's really been a lot of fun. Thank you so much for hauling yourself all the way here from Middleton.
Sun Prairie.
Sun Prairie.
You keep giving me more credit than I'm asking for.
Sun Prairie's still kind of a hike. I really appreciate it, Luke. It's been great having you here. And Greg Bach will be back tomorrow. He's and the beautiful wife spent some time in Atlanta, so hopefully it was warmer and less snowy in Atlanta than it has been up here.
I would imagine so, but I think he's in for a little bit of a culture shock once he's back. It's a lot colder now than it was when he left.
Absolutely, and I hope, too, that someone managed to shovel for them while they were gone, because
he didn't ask me to do that. He asked me to fill in on the board, but that was not part of it.
Not your place.
Yes, that wasn't part of it. So hopefully somebody was able to help him out with that.
Because otherwise he's coming back to a solid block of ice.
You have to take that space heater and kind of just...
get a blow dryer. Going to be out there for a while. Earlier in the hour, we were talking to Jonathan Gilbert about the return of Martins. In Wisconsin, they've been seen on Lake Superior's Madeline Island, and waiting ever so patiently is Mark from Prairie du Sec, who has a Martin story. Good morning. Good morning, Mark. How you doing?
Yeah. Good morning. Yeah, I had a little adventure one year. This is a few years back now, but I was climbing up into a tree stand that on my property up there, and I opened up the little flap. This is up in Douglas County. I opened up the flap to climb into it, and all of a sudden, this little face pokes itself out at me, and it was a Martin.
Oh!
And it ducked back into the thing, and I heard it scrambling around, and it must have been, there was two of them, and one went down one side of the tree, and one went down the other side, but they were, like, in a panic mode when I first crawled up there, and like, those cartoon characters running at each other because some big old creature is coming to get them. And, you know, it took me a minute to kind of figure out what it was, because it wasn't a weasel, because I've had those. I remember years ago at a pulp landing during deer season, we were cooking polar sausage, and a weasel came up and was checking us out, and we were tossing little chunks of polar sausage to the weasel, and he was grabbing them and running back under the wood pile and came back out again to get more. But that Martin was just, see, I go, what the heck? You know, and I finally, you know, found a picture of a Martin face, and that's what it was. I mean, I was basically nose to nose with the thing, and it was a cute little rascal, but I didn't, you know, I didn't that... he must have, he and his partner or her partner must have been, you know, just taking a little siesta up there. And
they were taking advantage of the tree stand.
They probably
taking
thought
advantage of it. And,
right? They probably thought, hey, what a great place! Let's stay here.
Great place, yeah. To just kind of take a little snooze, and it was you know, a little bit of an adventure, and you know, kind of one of my treasured memories of it. What you see when you're out in the woods.
Absolutely. You've shared stories with us before, which I really love, Mark, when you tell us about that. And I applaud you for not falling off when you got confronted by this thing, because that would have been my first instinct, I think, right? If a face had come popping out of my tree stand.
Yeah, a little critter that you're not expecting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thanks so much, Mark. Have a great day.
Appreciate it, Mark.
Watch out for those martins.
Yeah, you got to be careful. You got to clear out this tree stand, or just be courteous. Knock for the martins that maybe are
knock first.
Resting up there.
844-967-2789. 844-96.
Party.
We have Gary on the line. Good morning, Gary from Sussex. How you doing, sir?
Hey, congratulations on your new show.
Thank you.
I've been listening to you guys for a long time. Right in the middle of that snowstorm we had this week, my neighbors called me, and they were on their flight was canceled or whatever, and they're going on a cruise. So they rented a car, and they drove to Atlanta, and they called me when they were down in, like, someplace in Tennessee or something like that, and they said, oh, by the way, can you plow our driveway? And I said, oh, geez, I didn't even know they were gone. So I go out there. I got my brand new snowblower. I never used it before. I bought it last spring, and I'm out there trying to clear the stuff that the plows put on there, all
sure.
the big chunks of stuff like that.
Yep.
And I'm plowing away, and I'm only getting like inches. So also, my neighbor drove in in his car, and he saw that I sheared off the pin on one of the blades on my brand new snowblower. So I'm trying to plow it with one rotation.
Oh no! You got a broken snowblower.
Yeah. So what I did was they're shear pins. So if you hit real big chunks of ice, it just shears it off. So it saves the transmission on it. So I went out there and got a new pin. My wife was all mad because I broke the snowblower and the neighbor's stuff.
You know? Yeah, the first run of it, too.
I'm sure. Well, that.
Yeah, so. Go ahead, Jane.
I was just going to say that was really nice of you to do that for your neighbor because, again, we're talking about Greg Bach, who is coming back, I think, sometime today. And I hope someone took care of that.
I hope
them.
He asked in advance. I hope he wasn't already on vacation when he sent in the request like Gary's neighbor.
Because, again, then you're coming back and this stuff isn't going to move now for another week and a half, right?
Nope. Yep. Yeah. So I'm happy that, you know, they're good. I take care of their fish also. And their fish are out in their pond. They got a koi pond or something like that. And it doesn't freeze over for some reason. But the fish go dormant. So during the wintertime, I don't have to feed them like if they go away in the summertime. Feeding the fish, you know.
Well, you are a very good neighbor, Gary. Really appreciate you calling. And thank you so much for listening. And you can always check in with us, too, at 844-967-2789, 844-96.
Party.
All right, we're going to switch gears a little bit on the highway, switching gears on the highway.
Yeah.
I saw this come up this morning from the Associated Press. And so we all have those highway signs, the freeway signs.
Oh, yeah.
You know, the DOT can leave messages about there's an accident coming up or, you know, the lane is closed or
this
whatever.
This long to this highway, give you commute times, any updates like that you
stuff
might
like
need
that.
To know.
And then sometimes there are some humorous messages.
Yeah. More often than not of late. Like, I feel like it's definitely picked up.
With the humorous.
Yeah,
they're not just jokes for the sake of jokes.
No.
It's a humorous way to remind people, to buckle up. And, you know, don't speed.
Well, they take the drive sober, don't get pulled over. Like, they take the fact that it rhymes a little bit and it becomes more of a slogan. So you'll see things like that. Drive sober, don't get pulled over. Click it or ticket. Like there's lots of those things that kind of rhyme, easier to remember. Then you'll see that nature of a message pop up on those when there's not a delay, or not something else that needs to be posted, popping up on those signs.
And it varies very much from state to state, and every state DOT. So, in Massachusetts, one of the messages they use is "Use ya blinka." Use ya blinka, and it's spelled like YAHBLINKAH. Use ya blinka.
Because they wanted to make sure that the drivers were really getting the vibe that they were going for.
Getting the message. That's in Massachusetts. In Ohio, visiting in-laws, slow down, get there late.
So I feel like I saw the meme of that, like the picture of that one floating around a lot.
Oh, did you?
On social media this past holiday season.
In Pennsylvania, they like to use "Don't drive Star Spangled Hammered."
It's clever. Similar to the drive sober, don't get pulled over.
Right. In New Jersey, hocus pocus, drive with focus.
There you go.
I don't hate
that. That's a good one to run for Halloween.
I don't think these are bad. And then from Arizona, hands on the wheel, not on your meal.
It's an excellent reminder.
Arizona has more than 300 of these DOT signs across its highways, and they've actually held a contest to find the most creative messages.
That sounds like it's a good public safety, like it's a public safety messaging tool.
They had almost 4,000 entries last year.
That's got to be fun to have that aspect of the job. That's got to be the most fun part of the job.
I can't imagine working for the DOT is a barrel of chuckle monkeys. So their opportunity to do something like this, it's a good creative outlet, right?
It's an excellent creative outlet. And I think not even from the employee's perspective, I think as a driver where, you can be. Nowadays, you got your phone in your pocket. You got the smart screen displays across the front. It's more and more difficult to get our attention.
Absolutely.
As drivers.
Absolutely.
And to keep the attention. And it's a very important thing to do for safety.
Yep.
But I think things that rhyme or things that are funny like that, that are punny, they stay with you then. And
they
do. So it's
you
an
remember
effective.
It.
Yeah, it's an effective tool because it's like, like saw that. I don't need to speed right now. I can slow down a little bit. And it's not just because the sign said don't speed, it said it's something funny like traveling to your in-laws? Slow down. Get there late.
It's fine. The winner last year in Arizona, I'm just a sign asking drivers to use your turn signal.
That's a good one.
That is. I love them. Well, all that's going away, folks.
What?
Yeah. The U.S. Federal Highway Administration now has given states 2 years to implement all the changes outlined in its new 1,100-page manual.
Wow.
That was released last month. This new manual from the Federal Highway Administration includes rules on how signs and other traffic control devices are regulated. They say the overhead electronic signs with obscure meanings will be banned in 2026 because they can be misunderstood or distracting.
What? That's
Can we just suck all the joy out of life?
The U.S. Federal Highway Administration is being a little bit of the fun police right now. That seems a little over 1,100 page manual telling you what can and cannot be on those signs. I hope, Jane, for the next 2 years, for all of 2024 and 2025, I want to see these sign writers just at the peak of their game.
Do it while you can.
I want to see them go out with a bang when it comes to the messaging that they can create for driving safely on our highways and all the other roads that these signs pop up on.
The U.S. Department of Transportation says signs should be simple, direct, brief, legible, and clear, and only used for important information like warning drivers of crashes up ahead, bad weather, traffic delays, seatbelt reminders, and warnings about the dangers of speeding or driving impaired are allowed, but apparently just not with the jokes.
Just don't do it in a catchy way that's, you know, memorable.
People will remember.
Yeah. Just, you got to click it or ticket. You just got to phone it in. That's all you get to use now. You don't get to use anything else.
Arizona State Representative David Cook, a Republican from Globe, tells a Phoenix TV station, "I think in Arizona, the majority of us do, if not all of us, like it. The humor part, we like it. He doesn't understand all the fuss. Why are you trying to have the federal government come in and tell us what we can do in our own state? This does seem like a Buttigieg buzzkill."
Yeah, so Mayor Pete or Secretary Mayor Pete, I don't know what we're going by all these days. Secretary Mayor Pete, being a little bit of the fun police. It's not fun. It's down around the parades.
I like your idea, Luke. I think we throw the gauntlet now to DOTs across the country.
If you are a member of the Wisconsin Department of Transportation and you have the ability to write these signs, or you know of anybody that has the ability to write these signs, please tell them to just go out.
Go crazy.
Go all out. We want to make sure that Wisconsin has the best DOT highway transportation signs next 2 years.
And I know we can do it.
I know we can do it too.
I really think we can.
It could be a lot of fun. A lot of fun.
There's so much.
Just think of
there.
All the different holidays. Like I feel like some of the they're always a good chuckle. I've never found them. Have you ever found them confusing?
No.
These
are the same people who need it to say on the pizza box, "Do not eat frozen
coffee."
I don't think we should tell them. I think we have too many warnings. Anyway. We will be right back. Karina, I see you on the phone. Stay with us. Stay close. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network. If you're going my way, I want to drive it all night long. Gimme, 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 yeah. Life is a highway. I want to ride it all night long. If you're going my way, I want to drive it all night long. Gimme, 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 yeah. Life is a highway. I want to ride it all night long. If you're going my way, I want to drive it all night long.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
Hi, I'm Ryan Blaney, a third-generation race car driver, and we dedicate a lot of our time to going as fast as possible. My grandpa Lou is the reason why my dad and I started racing, and I'm really proud to follow in his tracks. But when my grandpa was diagnosed with Alzheimer's, it was a very unexpected bump in the road for us. I've learned a lot on this journey with my grandpa Lou, and the memories of my grandpa will always be with me. It's important to notice if older family members are acting differently, experiencing problems with their memory, or having trouble with routine tasks. Talking about Alzheimer's can be really tough, but if you notice something, have a conversation with your loved one. Encourage them to see a doctor or offer to go with them. Early detection of Alzheimer's can give your family time to explore support services, make a plan for the future, and access available treatments. The Alzheimer's Association provides care, support, and research to help you take control of the situation with your family and manage the disease together. If you or your family are noticing changes, it could be Alzheimer's. Talk about seeing a doctor together. Visit alz.org/time-to-talk. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
On air, Jane Matnair, Luke Mathers on the Civic Media Radio Network. Make sure you download the Civic Media app, then you can listen to all the stations all across the network, and you can call and text directly from there as well. 844-967-2789, 844-96.
Party!
If you want to call or text, and you can always leave a message on the live stream if you're watching on Facebook, YouTube, and or Twitter. Karina is on the line from Milwaukee. Good morning, Karina. Thanks for joining us. What did you want to say?
Good morning. About the sign, about 1988 in Russia, they changed the sign. We had no way out, and they changed it to no exit due to people who are depressed or unstable. Seeing those signs in subways would go completely suicidal. So, yeah. So that's the sign, no way out. Them reading it in every exit they would go would depress them real bad.
Wow.
So I guess we have a lot. Yep, that was psychological research, and they said that if we're rather going to change it to not an exit, because it's also very depressing. Not an exit. So, like, look for entrance, basically. that's what it is. What you gonna do? And they changed it in 1988. So we're talking about USSR, not even.
Yeah, long time ago. Thank you so much, Karina. Yep. Really appreciate it. And thank you always for listening. 844-967-2789. We were talking about this new 1,100 page manual from the Federal Highway Department.
You could sum it up in like one page. It's just no fun. Just that's what. Like, I appreciate the reminder, Karina, that things could be more depressing of the signs. But like this is. I feel like it's a clever way to inform. And I guess I don't know if I've ever I've never had an interaction because normally they can be conversation starters too.
Oh yeah.
When you're traveling to a party, family, friends, you're road tripping, you're doing anything like that, you'd be like, hey, did you see this sign? Can you believe that that's what it was?
Right.
Or I don't usually hear the I didn't understand it aspect of it, or it was confusing or anything like that. It's usually just. That was a clever way to share
to make your point.
Public service message.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's why with jingles, commercial jingles, there is a reason we remember commercial jingles.
Yeah.
Because they're rhymey, they're repetitive, it sticks with you. And again, I don't think these funnier messages are distracting.
I don't find them distracting, but maybe we're the outliers. Yeah, maybe people find them distracting. Do you find the signs shared by the Wisconsin DOT through the U.S. highways distracting, or is it just Jane and I that find them, you know, funny and informative? But we're the odd ones out.
Andrew from Verona, checking in, listening in Madison. Thanks, Andrew. That's so stupid. If entertaining DOT signs are so unsafe, I guess they should ban billboards for businesses, too. Can't be distracted by the billboards on 94 for strip clubs and sex toys. You have a point there, Andrew. Some might find that more distracting.
So I think many would find those more distracting rather than just the deer camp ones where they say don't camp in the left lane and stuff like that, where it's like, that's a good reminder for drivers to get over and be out of the passing lane. Like they're when you're the fourth of July one, like Star Spangled Hammer, don't get Star Spangled Hammered. Right. Like that's a clever way to remind people not to drink and drive during any of those holidays. Like I don't understand why you need 1,100 pages.
I'm assuming it's covering more than just the signage.
I hope so, because that's a really long document just say, hey, these are, because if you're going to slim it down to just the very few restrictions of what is and is not acceptable anymore, unless you're giving it like 10 pages of this is what to expect, and the other 1,090 pages are just examples of do not use these. Like, I don't know how you fill 1,100 pages, I guess, of it, but... I'm sure, yeah. That's why I don't work for the National Department of Highway Safety.
You go. Hocus pocus, drive with focus. I just...
You're going to be singing that one to yourself pretty much as you drive.
It's going to stay with you. It will. It absolutely
it's clever.
Will.
It's smart.
And it's memorable.
Yeah.
We want you to make it home, so put down your phone. Rico from Rock County.
Is that an acceptable one? Rico, we'll have to submit it and see if it...
I think that's a good one, Rico.
We'll have to ask Mayor Secretary Pete if this is
acceptable.
Yeah.
That would be nice. And also, I wanted to just get this in real quickly. Drake in Green Bay said, we caught a Martin on our trail camera in Forest County. We named him Dean.
Oh, that's a good
one. Oh, thank you, Drake. That makes me so happy.
See, so people are finding them in the... Hopefully that one didn't have a collar and was part of the tracking program. Hopefully that was just one of the native wild ones that are returning to northern Wisconsin.
Martin's in the wild. It's just a wonderful, wonderful
Martin
thing.
Martin here, Martin there, Martin everywhere.
Luke Mathers, thank you again for joining me the last couple of days.
It has been a pleasure.
It has been so much fun. I really appreciate it. You will be heading back to your... Lair in Madison.
Yes.
And Greg Buck will be back tomorrow. He spent a couple days in Atlanta. Hopefully they had a nice time and enjoyed some better weather than we've had around here.
I've got some homework to assign him too now that we've got 3 degrees of cheese to create.
Yes.
And we've got there's going to be so much that he's going to wish that he never went away. No, I'm just kidding. He's gonna be thrilled to be back with you, and I'm a little jealous that I'm not right here in Waukesha and that I can't just, you know, kick him off the board anytime.
You're welcome anytime. You are welcome to join us anytime. As are you. Thank you also to Jonathan Gilbert, who joined us earlier this hour as we were talking about the return of the Martins. Thank you, everyone, for calling and texting and leaving comments on the live stream. The news coming up next, followed by the one, the only Todd Alba Show. I hope you find some joy today, and I hope you have that chance to share it, and I hope you stay warm. Keep it right here. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Locally grown radio from Vesper to Plover, we are your home for news talk and sports. 97.5 FM and WFHR, 1320 AM.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Using meth taught me everything about freedom, only not like you think. It taught me how easy it is to lose your freedom. If you think meth is taking control of you, ask for help. You have the power to be truly free. I know. I'm Jan, and I'm free from meth.
If you or someone you know is struggling with meth, call 1-800-662-HELP for 24-hour free and confidential treatment referral. Learn more at samhsa.gov/meth.
WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
This is CBS News on the